Never, never, we will never die. Never, never, we will never die. We are love. We are love. Love lives forever. Never, never, we will never die.
The Lord is risen. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. And I just wanted to do the salsa there. I don't know if that's the salsa, but that kind of general movement, you get the idea. It's really awesome to be together today for me and for you. I know we've been through a lot this year, and last year I stood here, closed my eyes, and wished for this moment that we would see each other in this room again. And there's so many of you that have chosen to be here today, and I'm, from my heart to yours, thank you. And for everyone who's with us online, we send love from this sacred space to your sacred space, and we know we're connected by the love of God, and we trust you feel the love emanating from this place today on Easter. For those of you who are interested in learning more about the church and our offerings, especially our upcoming Centering Prayer Retreats in April, I encourage you to go to the church website and click on the events tab and the special events link, and it will give you all the details you need to know about the many offerings that the church presents weekly and daily for our spiritual edification. If you're visiting for the first time or tuning in for the first time today, we send the love of God to you and hope you feel God's love through this worship service. The church exists for the sole purpose for anyone anywhere who wishes to make God devotion the center of their life. And thus, we do things differently, and we really focus on God's grace in the silence of centering prayer, and we'll experience some of that today. So grateful that we can celebrate Easter in person and see each other's faces, feel each other's hearts and energies. It's a very sacred year we are beginning as we explore and experiment with a whole new way of being church connected to the world. Let's take a moment, wherever you are, just to wish for the highest quality influences to enter into your mind and heart and body through this service. What is it that you need today? What is it that you wish for? May it be for each of us and those who are listening. May it be so. And we begin this sacred Easter service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Please join us in invoking and remembering the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come. Please stand, for the gospel in one word is love.
Most gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, breather of our life, giver of each of our moments, we are so grateful to feel the love coursing through our bodies in this community, in this room and around the world. We ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would quicken each of us into the light and love of Christ more deeply and more expansively than we could ever imagine. Consume that which fears us, transform that which has wounded us, and heal the deepest places where the darkness does not wish to receive the light. We ask for this gift and this service of resurrection in remembrance of Jesus, the root of our faith. We pray this in your most holy and precious name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Good morning and happy Easter. Please join me first in our invocation. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. And if you will echo our verse for the second month in a row from St. Teresa of Avila, God has no body in this world but ours. No hands but ours. No feet but ours. No eyes to look upon the world with compassion but ours. Well, if you're at home, you can probably see my Easter scene. If you're here, we're kind of down low, so I'll describe it for you. Here we have the angel of God dressed in lightning. I had a hard time pulling that off, but you get the picture. And the angel is standing above the cave where the stone has been rolled away, and two women are approaching early on Sunday morning. And one of them might have said, "Oy vey, Mary, is that what I think it is?" And the other one might say, "Crikey, that's a big fella, isn't it?" And then they might have looked inside to see if Jesus was still there. "Where is the body of Christ?" she says. Now, maybe you see this scene differently. Maybe you hear it differently. But I think the important part of what we just heard was, where is the body of Christ? We know that Jesus was resurrected from the dead and for 40 days walked among the people with wounds in his palms. He saw over 500 people during those 40 days. It's what the Bible tells us. That's a lot of people seeing the hands of Christ. And where is the body of Christ now? Look at your hands. No hands but ours. These are the hands of Christ. And we can use these hands of Christ. Lucky Lightworkers, you can use the hands of Christ. You can use them to ask for what you need and to give thanks. You can use them to pour out a blessing on the people that you love, on your pet hamster, on your brothers and your sisters. You can use your hands in the sign of the cross. You can use your hands to heal your own body through tapping, something you can learn about. You can use your hands in a way called mudras. Perhaps you've seen people meditating with their hands like this. They are connecting to God. But there's also a mudra that you can use if you have ADHD. You can tuck one of your pointer here underneath and put that down on your hand and just rest it like that. And it helps to calm your body and your nervous system. We can pray with our hands by washing other people's feet, a very loving gesture of blessing. We can pray with beads, saying a prayer each time we move to a new bead. We can pray with our hands because they are the hands of Christ in this world. And here on Easter Sunday morning, we are never closer to Christ than we are in this moment in time during the year. So close your eyes for a moment. Rub your hands together. And lift your palms. Lift them to God. Allow the light of God to pour through your hands. And now, pour out a blessing on the world. And as we go out, we're going to do the prayer of Yafatah that we do at Lama. And this is blessing people as they go with God. So, Yafatah. 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 Happy Easter.
Reading is from John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he might rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Boy, it is so good to see each of you here. New friends, I don't even know your names. So many new faces. Such a resurrection day for the church. Last year, Easter, the chairs were all outside, and Donald and his team had resurfaced the whole sanctuary floor, and so it was empty. It was such a profound Easter. Because of that, the space was so clean, crisp, and empty. And there was just a few of us in the sanctuary, just the musicians and the sound, AV people, and Marianne and myself. It was a lonely Easter, in a certain sense, for me. Disconnected, feeling disconnected, wondering what is it like to be a church without a congregation that gathers? After church, I went for a drive. I lived in Bee Caves. And I had just discovered this little stream. I guess it's this tributary to Barton Creek, along the access path to Spanish Oaks subdivision. And everything was so green. And the grass was so tall, and the trees were just so vibrantly green, the different trees at different times like they are now, different greens right next to each other, so beautiful. And the creek was flowing so fast. And there's an old dilapidated bridge that spans the little creek there, and no one was there. There's no one around. It was as if the whole world was asleep. You remember, there were no airplanes in the sky, and it's just this gentle Texas breeze, and I lay down on the bridge right over the water, and I looked up into the sky. And I was so alone, but I didn't feel lonely. And I felt so much gratitude for this unexpected discovery of this secret little garden. I had driven by it for many, many years and never knew it was even there. And it was a grace, it was an Easter grace to me. And it was a promise to me. I knew it was a promise to me that if I could just remain faithful and hold on to God, and God would hold on to me, that I would get out on the other side of this. And here we are today. I'm not alone, and the space is full. It's a symbol of death and resurrection. It's a symbol of the promise that the resurrection gives to all of us. Whatever you think of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, at the very least, it's a promise that when we hold on to God and God holds on to us, we always get through to the other side. And that's a beautiful thing to think about. What is the other side you're aiming at? Where is your journey today? So many of us have come through the Lenten journey, and this is such a moment of celebration, the consummation of our Lenten journeys, where each day there's a degree of attentiveness and awareness that we're on our Lenten journey. And so to really, really let yourself celebrate today the consummation of our journeys. I want to just give you an image, share an image that came to me that can help, I think, us understand the image of the resurrection. Because, I don't know about you, the resurrection of Jesus is just so difficult intellectually to grasp, in part because we see our loved ones dying all the time. And so while it seems like this wonderful thing to celebrate that it happened for Jesus, death has continued to shadow the human race since then. And so we don't see much physical resurrection. We don't have the evidence so much at hand. And we wonder, what's the point, Jesus? What's the point? So here's an image that I think might help us open up a little understanding to what the point might be of this grounding, rooting story that grounds Christianity deep in the power of God, in the mystery of the darkness. You know, you can learn things by way of contrast. And sometimes when we put something against another thing, the two reveal something about each other that otherwise they wouldn't. So you remember the myth of Icarus, who is a Greek pantheon in the god. He was a son of a god. And he was on the Isle of Crete in the maze there. And the Minotaur was there in the maze with him. It's very symbolic, kind of like lost in life, in the maze of life, with all its dangers. Twisting and turning, how do you get out of this maze? How do we find our way out on the other side? How do we get through this? And Icarus was given a gift, the very thing you need to get out of a maze. You remember what he was given? Wax wings, right? He was given the gift of flight. And he was able to then lift out of that maze that had trapped him and the risk of death. But he was warned not to go too high to the sun and not to go too low to the sea, because the wax would melt either too close to the sun or too close to the sea. And in the case of Icarus, he was overwhelmed with pride, overwhelmed with the glory of flight and his good fortune to escape the maze of life. And we all know the story that he lost himself in his ecstasy and flew too close to the sun and dared to be a son of God himself. And his wax wings melted, and he fell to the sea to his death. So the principle with Icarus, this beautiful Greek myth, is that sometimes we want too much, and we reach for too much, and we cannot get out on the other side on our own power, and we come, so to speak, too close to the sun, and we fall. And that's the exact opposite of Jesus. Jesus is another son of God, so to speak. And instead of flying so high, Jesus came all the way down to human nature and joined us. And it's because he did not seek to fly so high and be so almighty, but because he emptied himself and served humanity with humility and love, and came all the way down to the place of absorbing the worst of our human violence as an innocent one. Because of that, in contrast to Icarus, who fell by rising, Jesus rose by falling. Jesus was raised because he had allowed himself to fall into the ground. This is the paradox of, you might say, the myth of domination and the myth of surrender or consent. The gift of trusting God versus yourself. And resurrection is a reminder that though we can't always know how we're going to get through it, these difficult things that we go through, God's faithfulness holds us close and rewards, so to speak, that act of faith and that trust and that surrender, and more importantly, the humility of not trying to be God yourself, of letting go and calling out for help. In contrast to Icarus, who soared so high and then fell, Jesus came so low and was raised up. It's a beautiful contrast that shows perhaps the meaning of Easter for us. God's power is our salvation. Our unbelief is God's powerlessness. God's power is our salvation, our healing, our liberation. Our unbelief, our hardness of heart, our resistance to help, our insistence on doing it our own way is God's powerlessness. I heard that from Father Ed, a monk at New Camaldoli Hermitage, where I had gone at a very difficult point in my life, and I was sitting there and just was so moved to tears as he gave his little homily. And Father Ed was someone that I had never paid much attention to, because he didn't seem to, so to speak, radiate the light that, you know, you think spiritual people should. I kind of wrote him off. He didn't look like the way I think an enlightened person should look like. You know, he didn't clip his toenails. Why don't you wear socks, you know? Spare us all, Father Ed. But you know, if you just stop looking at the externals sometimes, hiding in plain sight is the sons and daughters of God, and they radiate their wisdom. And from his humility, he spoke to my heart in such a way that touched me deeply and helped me deeply. God's power is our salvation. God can do it, you can't. But our unbelief is God's powerlessness. It's beautiful. We can resist being loved by God. We can resist being helped by God. We can resist being raised to life by God. We can resist the light so easily in our lives for various reasons. For various reasons. Just like to talk a little bit about this idea and make it a little more practical for each of us in our day-to-day lives. And the idea is, let's hold on to God and we'll come out on the other side. And let's let God hold on to us, and God will bring us to the other side. And so what is it that you might be going through? What is it that God brings us through? I can think of a couple things right now, and I've made them all easy because they're D words, so you can remember them. And the first thing is spiritual darkness. If we hold on to God and God holds on to us, we'll get to the other side. We'll get through it. That spiritual darkness is a symbol for the tomb. The tomb is a symbol for spiritual darkness, that all of us go through our dark nights. And there are many in our community who are at different places on the spiritual journey, but especially those of us in our community who have been on the way a long time, who are deep in the silence, deep in the faith, deep in the surrender, deep in the suffering, deep into the mystery. And in a certain sense, this is the wayless way, way out at sea, no bearings, just you in the sea, you in the great depths, floating on the sea without terror, knowing that you're 5 miles to the seabed beneath you, looking up at the stars. It's as if you and God alone, that's all. And you don't even know where you're going. And for those in this community, for the mystics, you know about this spiritual darkness. You know what I'm talking about. For those of us in this community who are just beginning on the spiritual journey, you may never have had been touched by spiritual darkness. You may only have known the springtime of God's presence and love and action. It's so fruitful in your life. But so you might be surprised to hear that there's a darkness on the spiritual journey. One of the greatest teachers in the Christian mystical tradition is a fellow by the name of Pseudo-Dionysius. Really, he's literally translated the false Pseudo-Dionysius. They don't know who the author is, so they call him Pseudo-Dionysius or simply Dennis. But he is pretty much the founding father of what we call the apophatic tradition or negative theology, that is knowing by unknowing, saying by unsaying, really the teacher of the silence and the wisdom that's in the silence. But for us mystics in the room, those on the journey who might have been touched, or maybe even this moment touched by the darkness, take comfort in his wisdom written in the 7th century. I pray for you, Timothy, my friend. My advice to you, as you look for a sight of the mysterious things, is to leave behind you everything that you perceive and understand. Everything perceptible and understandable, all that is not, and all that is, and with your understanding laid aside, strive upward as much as you can toward union with God, who is beyond all being and knowledge.
by an undivided and absolute abandonment of yourself and everything, shedding all and freed from all, you will be uplifted to the ray of the divine shadow, which is above everything that is. Notice the theology here. This is not climb up the ray. This is not ascend the mountain. Listen to how he puts this. Listen to the tense, the passive tense, that this is done to us. By an undivided and absolute abandonment of yourself, that's your part, that's my part, and everything, shedding all and freed from all, that's what life does to us, it sheds so much from us. We let go, we let go, we let go. Now here's God's part. And you will be lifted up to the ray of the divine shadow, which is above everything that is. So this beautiful process that Jesus demonstrated of letting go, of shedding his very grasp of life, letting go of self, abandonment of self, an undivided and absolute abandonment of yourself, and then divine love will raise you up. It's so paradoxical in our culture, which is based on Icarus. Just keep going. That chart that just moves from left to right, higher and higher and higher, more and more and more, bigger offices and bigger cars and bigger houses, bigger accounts, better and better and better and better and better. Do it yourself, climb, climb, climb. That's our destiny. And the teaching of Jesus perhaps demonstrates something different, this power of letting go to be raised up. I think it accords so nicely with so many of our lived experiences, because it seems to me that there are 7 or 8 billion human beings, not all of whom can win, certainly not at the same time. So it seems to me that the real majority of human beings is actually losing, lost, and experiencing great difficulty. And it's to these people, to the ones who are broken open by life, the ones who don't know how to get through on their own, that the gospel of Jesus Christ speaks. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not the gospel of victory for winners, it's the gospel of victory for people who have fallen and can't get up by themselves, don't know how to get through the maze of life. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes and anoints us with the wings of the Spirit, who carries us up like wings of an eagle over the canyons and difficulties of life that will so mire us if we keep trying to get through on our own. When we stay close to God, we'll come out on the other side through our darkness. We think about the difficulties that come that keep us wondering how we'll get through this. I mentioned the difficulty of COVID for many of us. For many people in this room, perhaps, there has been great difficulty that has come to our lives because of this, not to mention just inconveniences, but the difficulties. And while I don't know anyone really personally in our community who was evicted or who lost their home yet, I haven't heard of anyone in our community. I know some people have lost jobs, some people have been on unemployment, so that normal convenience of life went away. And then just in general, the sense of fear that I have heard from so many people, that sense of fear that has been like a choke, a great difficulty on our lives. And in our culture, all that is unfolded in this year, the great difficulty that hangs over our culture, the difficulty of being one nation, the difficulty, how will we get through this? And those are just the big difficulties that we are all aware of. I don't know what the difficulties are in your personal life. I'm open to hearing them. I'm open to being a minister to this community. Share. I would love to hear. And that's in part how we get through, is by sharing with one another. What is our difficulty? And I think that if there's any genius of the charism of this church that Tim and Barbara founded, the microphones that went around. It's that sharing of heartfelt, real difficulties that people are going through that made this church the community that it is. And unfortunately, I think that's the saddest thing that COVID has done, is that we can't pass the microphones around in a safe way yet. Because I would love today to send the microphones around and just hear the witness of how you're holding on to God and God holding on to you got you through this year, got you out of this year. I can't wait to hear the stories when we can share them safely. And just lastly, when we stay close to God and God holds on to us, we come out on the other side. I just want to mention, and not write off this, because I believe it is so real and true, and that is death. And that if anything in the Christian tradition, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has been described as the victory over death. Now, it doesn't look that way when you look at the sweep of human history and all the billions of people that have died. But death is a thing of fear for so many of us. And this is the point of the resurrection that it's trying to teach us, that you don't really die, that you can't really die, that what looks like physical death is the doorway to a different kind of life. And Jesus, in this temporary way, in between two eternities, in between two realities, in between, you might say, the ground of God and the cloud of God, he appears after his death as this shining witness that kind of isn't a real body and is a real body. It's a mysterious body. It's a resurrected body, not for this world, but just for this moment in time, these few 40 days or so in the Christian tradition. Jesus is in this liminal space, and he's basically broadcasting, don't fear death. Death is just the doorway into a deeper, fuller life. And it's necessary, though difficult to endure. We don't want to romanticize death, but it is not the end. And if there's any witness in the resurrection and the ascension that follows the resurrection, it is, like so many spiritual traditions and so many spiritual teachers are realizing these days, at the quantum level, all matter transforms into energy and simply shifts to another way of existence, another being, another quality of life that we can't completely understand or quantify. And so if there's any hope for each of our lives, when we come up to the sicknesses, the diseases, and friends, the fear of COVID, I want you to remember the resurrection mantra, we shall never die. And this is what I want to say to every single one of you. What I want to say is, connect the resurrection to your fear of COVID. We need to be a resurrection community, not a COVID community. And I declare that in the name of Jesus Christ, the resurrected one. Let's demonstrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our lives by this fearlessness over sickness and death and anything that can come up against you. I am eternal. I am forever. I am star stuff. I am the son and daughter of God. We can fly because we've been given the wings of the Holy Spirit. We need to declare these things in a culture that's consumed with fear and death, as if that's the end. Now, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ for Easter Sunday, lived very practically for each of us. And I want to close with ancient wisdom that comes from the Hindu Upanishad, the Katha Upanishad, my favorite Upanishad of all of them, so beloved. And here it goes. May we light the fire that burns out the ego and all its fears. May we light the fire that burns out the ego and all its fears and enables us to pass from fearful fragmentation to fearless fullness in the changeless whole. That's the wisdom of the Hindu tradition 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. They're saying the same thing. May we light the fire that burns out the ego and all its fears and enables us to pass from fearful fragmentation to fearless fullness in the changeless whole. If that's not a message for our culture and our world that is so under the spell of the evil magician who's fragmenting the wholeness, who's keeping us divided and separated from ourselves, one another, and our loved ones, if that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't know what is. May we light the fire that burns out the ego and all its fears and enables us to pass from fearful fragmentation to fearless fullness in the changeless whole. Whenever we hold on to God, we will get through to the other side, because God is holding on to us, drawing us forward into that new life through difficulty, divorces, sicknesses, and all the fears of depression and all the fears of death. It just keeps drawing us forward into a different quality of life. It's something I need to remember daily. It's not something I remember all the time. We forget these truths. And so we need to tell one another and encourage one another. Do not be driven by fear. Let us be resurrection people and live that resurrection faith and hope and life today and every day. You've heard what I've had to say. Just take a moment in the silence and allow the Holy Spirit to use this context and these ideas and to apply them into your heart and into your mind and into your body in just the way you might need today. We ask for help, that we would be given the wings of spirit to rise from the maze of life, to overcome the fears that we can't get out, and to know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and you lead us into life in the fullness of life eternal. We pray this in Christ, and all God's people said, Amen. We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hearts or into our hands or into our awareness, whether we give by check, by mail, or online, or here at the church in the basket. We remember the truth together, saying, God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to simply remember God. And we dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen. That's right. The special music will be heard by us in the room, but it'll be seen by everyone online right now. And you can watch it online when you get home, because you won't want to miss seeing the faces singing.
We will now enter into the silence of centering prayer for 10 minutes and consent to the infinite love, presence, and action of God.
I encourage you at this time to remove your caps from your Eucharist. And please partake when I partake of the Eucharist. And for those of you at home, I encourage you to press pause and prepare your own bread and juice or wine to celebrate the Eucharist with us. The Eucharist comes to meet us and helps us through the maze of life, enters into us and draws us into the love of God little by little each time we participate in it. And the special grace of the Eucharist is that it happens all at the same time for all of us in the sacred container. It's a beautiful experience of the oneness of the body of Christ at the same time we partaking in it. Please join me in silence and prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was handed over to death, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ for us all. Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence and the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth and the life, and we're grateful to share in the influences of your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let us stand and conclude our worship with a joyful song, an old classic. I encourage you to sing it out.
We shall never die.